Christine, amen. I was afraid she was stealing my sermon there for a minute. Amen. Appreciate her sweet spirit, her love for the Lord, amen. Well, those Indian people need people like her, don't they? They need people like her. And talk to her sometimes. She's has some amazing opportunities there in OU to teach and to talk to people. Just God's put her in that place down there and gave her opportunities to teach Cherokee language. So praise the Lord. What a blessing. Colossians chapter 4 in your Bibles tonight. While you're turning there, let me tell you, we had a car accident out here just a little bit ago, and they hit a gas pipe out here. And they've got the gas pipe turned off, and of course there's police and ambulance, so during service tonight, you might kind of hear some rustling out here, or maybe some sirens, that type of thing, but disturbances on this corner are not unusual. I think every service there's some car speeding by or driving by or honking their horn, and I can always count on it to happen right at the invitation time. Seems like when it always happens. But suffice it to say, because they shut the gas off and we're on gas here for the heater, there's no heat right now, all right? But I'll tell you what, just huddle real close, amen, and just love on each other tonight, and just keep it warm tonight, all right? So, yes, all right, amen, okay, all right. Now, sometimes you can't say that if you have, single big team group, you can't just say, huddle together, get close, because they'll take advantage of that, no. But anyhow, all right, Colossians 4, and in your Bibles tonight, privilege to preach the word of God tonight. Let's begin with verse number 1 in our Bibles tonight. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Let's pray tonight. Lord, thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for the privilege to open the word and preach it tonight. And God, I just ask your blessings tonight. I ask tonight your spirit would meet with us again in a powerful way. And God, I pray tonight that the truths of the scripture would, Lord, be brought about with thy Holy Spirit tonight. And that, Lord, the truths of the scripture would impact our hearts tonight on this night. Lord, you know the wreck situation out there tonight. May it not be a disturbance to us. But I pray tonight you help us just to focus on God, your word tonight for our lives. We pray. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I preached last week on the importance of praying that the gospel will have a free course, that it will have freedom, that it'll have opportunity to be able to reach into hearts and into minds. And the passage of Scripture, what I'm going to teach on tonight here is, it dovetails with that thought, only it goes in a different line. And the Apostle Paul says here in verse 2, he says, with all praying also for us, that God would open up unto us a door of utterance. A door of utterance. He said, now I want you to pray that God will open this door of utterance up unto us. He said that to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now he's in bonds. He's in a prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God we're not in that day. But I think that day could very well be coming because of the spiritual temperature of our backslidden country. I think that we're heading that direction. But he's saying here, he said, pray now that God would give us a door of utterance, that God would enable us to speak. And last week it was about giving the gospel the opportunity to go forth. And here we have the same idea of allowing our tongue and our voice, our speaking, to be able to go forth, this door of utterance. Now, he calls it a door because it can either be closed off or it could be opened up. And God says, if we pray about that door, if we pray about that door, then that door of utterance will give us the opportunity to speak. Now, I looked at this passage of Scripture a little bit differently, or a little bit better, because of the word mystery. He said, I want to speak the mystery of Christ. And what he's trying to say here is, I want you to pray for me that I can adequately express Christ and who he is. That's what he's saying. He's saying the mystery is this expression, or it's like a hidden secret that can be expressed that can reach a person's heart and mind. Not trying to make it complicated, but the Apostle Paul saying, Lord, I need you to pray for me that I can speak these mysteries so that what is hidden to the lost sinner, it can be revealed and seen. And he's saying, Lord, I need the ability to speak. I need that door not closed. I need that door open, Lord. And only the Lord can open a lot of these doors. Only the Lord can open a lot of doors. How many of you have ever gone and talked to somebody and you've witnessed to somebody and you just couldn't get through and you left that opportunity thinking, if I just knew more scripture, or if there was just the right illustration, maybe I could give that person, or if I could have just said something a little different or a little better or in a different way, maybe, just maybe, they would have opened their heart and got saved. Conversely, maybe you've had an opportunity where you've talked to somebody, you've preached the word, and you said, you've witnessed to somebody, and what you said just connected with the person. It just seemed to open their heart like the blossom on a rose. It just seemed to open their heart and their mind to you. And that door of utterance was opened. And you just felt like you could reach. There have been times when I've gotten up and it really was a struggle to get the words out and to express what I'm trying to say. How many of you have that problem? Yeah, we have that issue. And this is what Paul is dealing with here, and this is what he's wanting, and this is what he's saying. He's saying, would you pray for me that I can clearly and honestly show forth Christ and express what God is and preach to people and let people see God in me? I have to tell you, I preached sermons before that I thought were pretty good. Nothing happened. And I went home, my wife says, I didn't understand the thing you said today. She's always there to build me up, give me confidence, pat on the back. Yeah, she's always there for that. Then there's sermons I went home and I said, Lord, I bombed out. I laid a pterodactyl egg today. That was a big bad one. And somebody come up to me and say, preacher, that was the best sermon I've ever heard. And I cannot explain a lot of that sometimes. But I want to look tonight at some passages about this subject of how to speaking to people, and what it is that helps us connect with people. Because isn't that what we desire to do? Isn't that every Christian's desire? And how desirous and zealous we feel we want to talk, but yet oftentimes when it comes to actually speaking, there's a roadblock of either fear or not knowing what to say or remembering what to say. And this is what Paul is dealing with, and I'm glad that he deals with it because I deal with it too. And you deal with it too. And we would all love to be able to talk to everybody and convince them of Christ and open up these hidden mysteries to them where they can see Christ and understand the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'd all like that opportunity. We'd all like to be able to do that. And so we have to understand some things about speaking as not just a preacher, but as a Christian soul winner, as a communicator of what is in our minds and in our hearts that God has put there. And so I want to give you some thoughts about the subject tonight. First of all, let me say a lot of this is born out of prayer. It's born in prayer. Notice, twice he says, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Verse 3, with all praying also for us. Now, this is intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is when you pray for someone else. You are interceding on the behalf of somebody else. And I want to tell you, years ago I pastored in Oregon, and up there was a man. His name was Stan Wilcox. Stan's with the Lord Jesus today. But Stan Wilcox, he said, call me Stan the man. Okay, Stan the man, that's it. And that's what he was. And we soul went all over the hills of Oregon. And I'd go up and try to talk to people, and they'd look at me like, you know, a mountain person, you talk to somebody that lives out in the mountains, you need a whole different vocabulary. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. She's Oregonian, amen? But if it's hard to talk to her, you understand why, okay? I'm trying to make that clear tonight, okay, Andrea? She's a chicken lady, so, you know, okay. Anyhow, so we go back there in the hills, and we're talking to people about the Lord, and Stan the man steps up, and he kind of fumbles and spits and stutters, stammers, and everybody just listens to Stan. I said, Stan, when we go soul, we got in the car. I said, Stan, from now on, we go soul winning. You're doing the talking. And it's almost like they connected where I felt like I couldn't. I think we all feel sometimes that way. And we want to do better. And so I say to you today, the beginning thing of this is ask others to pray for you. Ask others to pray for you that you can have the door of utterance can be open for you. See, every one of us have a circle that we're involved in. Work, friends, the lady at the grocery store, the guy down at the gas station. Well, those days are gone. But we all have this circle of friends and influence. We just want to impact them for Christ. And we try, or we have those lost loved ones, and we want to win them to Christ, and we feel so inadequate in what to say. But can I take some of that burden off of you and say this? It is not always you and what you say. It is born in having somebody pray for you. Pray for us that this door of utterance may be opened. See, this is why we got to pray for those missionaries. Because they are dealing in a different language and in a different culture. I sat in on something. Amen. It's coming. It'll get there. It's working, you know, the circle's going around, it's working, it's working. In Uganda, he was learning a language, and it was a tribal language, there was no teacher. But there's a method. And that method is you get the smartest man in town and you hire him and you teach him how to teach you. And it's an interesting method, but it does work. And this method is what he did. And so I sat there, and here's this man who knows the language. He doesn't know Christ. He knows the language. But Brother Stensis was teaching this guy how to teach him the language. If you can get that all in your mind. And they came across a word in this tribal language that I remember. And it was the word to chop, like to chop. And the word was different if you used a different knife. Like if you used a knife, you used a different word. Or if you used a hatchet, you different word. And then there was a whole different word if you used a machete. And if you used a machete, it's a whole different word, a whole different way you'd say it. So you had to know, because you don't go in and just say, would you come chop down my tree? You know, and everybody laughs at you because they're picturing a little knife in your hand, right? Come chop down my tree, okay? And so, you know, how many times do missionaries go home and probably feel inadequate? Many times. We've got to pray for them that this door of utterance can be used by God through them, that door can be opened. That door can be opened. And by the way, a missionary has got to learn that language. And there are, sad to say, there's some missionaries who refuse to learn that foreign language, and they cannot communicate with them. This is part of this door of utterance that has to be open. They have to learn the language. But my point here is that we've got to be praying for each other. Because even, not just missionaries, but here in the States, as we talk to people, I want to pray for your circle of people that you talk to. And I want you to pray for my circle of people that I talk to. Well, you're looking at my circle of people that I talk to. Amen. But I know different people. You know, we all have our circle. So hear me tonight. The first step is bathe in prayer the opportunity to get the door of utterance to other people's circle of groups. I'm praying for your circle. You know, that should mean something. That should mean something. I think of Tiffany in this. She's got this group of friends and group of people that she's desperate to reach. She wants that. We've got to be praying for her circle. And that's biblical. That's right there in the Word. Pray also for us. Notice, second of all, who opens the door? Pray for us that what? God would open up unto us the door of utterance. See, God is the one that opens this door. You say, now why would God keep it shut? God doesn't want it shut. God wants the door open. But we have to pray for that door to be open. God said, pray for that. Because God can open that up. God can enable others to understand. You know, there I think are what's called universal languages, like love. Somebody understands love when they don't even understand your language. They understand you care. I heard a story about Brother Hiles. This Spanish lady was in the church, and she came down the aisle after the preacher preached. She came down the aisle, and Brother Hiles said, what did you come for? And she didn't even understand. So they gave her to a Spanish speaking soul winner and led her to the Lord. And they asked her, well, you didn't even hear the message. You didn't even know what it said. Why did you come and you didn't even hear a word that was said? And she said, because it looked so good. It looked so good. Now, I believe there is a God who works in us while others are praying for us And that as he works in us, he begins to open that door. He begins to open that door that people hear the gospel and they can get saved. Now, I want to take you some verses about this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Back a few pages, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, notice what this is not. First of all, it is not our eloquence. It is not our eloquence. Now, don't go down and start taking eloquent lessons. Amen? If you do, you're in the wrong state anyhow for eloquent lessons, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice what he says here. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in meekness and in fear and in much trembling. Notice this, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, I'm not trying to entice you. I'm not trying to convince you. I'm not filling my mind with all these enticing methods to get you to understand, to get you to make a decision. He says, I'm not speaking to you with eloquent words, with enticing words, but notice what he said, but demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Apostle Paul was just a plain guy that God was working in him. And the Holy Spirit of God was in his life, and he was working. And as God was just working in his life, and as others are praying for him, and by the way, he saw the value of others praying for him because he needed God working in him even all the greater, even all the more, because he knew he did not have, he could not use the tool of eloquence to win people to the Lord. He said, that's not a tool I'm going to use. And he said, and I'm not going to use enticing words. I'm not going to just try to entice you to something like a sales pitch. He said, that's not how it's going to be. He said, I want it to be of God. I want God to open the door, and I want God to open your heart. And so he says here, it's not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I want you to see God. I want you to see the Spirit of God working in me. Verse 5, he goes to faith. Look at this. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, in God's power. You see, there has to be in our heart a reliance upon God as we're talking to people. Stan the man wasn't a man of eloquent words. Stan the man. He said, preacher, don't ever ask me to wear a tie. He said, don't ever ask me to tuck my shirt in either. And he looked nice. He had a nice collared shirt. He looked good. And he had like a Filipino type shirt where it's untucked, but it looks good. And he would dress like that. And he'd go out soul winning like that. And he looked decent. He wasn't, you know, slobby, but he'd get up to the door and he'd kind of fumble and fobble around, but God was working in him. And the people that would come to church and hear the gospel, you know, it's not our eloquence that can get it done. And that's good because we ain't got that. And you don't need that. You need to be the you that God gave you to be. And when you learn, when you take it, those words, God just takes it and uses you. You don't have to be, you know, full of all these things we think. We think it's in all these particular methods. And don't get me wrong, there are some truths and simple things that we can present to people that we can learn. But when it gets all said and done, let me tell you, it's not about eloquence. It's about God using us to speak to their hearts as God is working in us and in our life and as others are praying for us in our life. So we need that. Now, Take your Bible, if you would. Go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I'm so sorry it's cold out there. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Notice verse 14. How then? Okay, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now he's talking about people to call, who call on the Lord. Now how does that happen? Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now Paul gives a direct line from whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He gives this step-by-step thing of how this happens. God calls a preacher, God calls a person. And by the way, God, you don't have to wait for a call to be a soul winner. That's a command. Amen? So we don't have to wait for a feeling or a call. God wants us to fill those shoes. So when we answer to God's call, we go, we send, they hear the message. Faith comes into their heart. Oh, wait a minute. The key point is the end point. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here's the component. The component is giving them the word as we speak. They've got to hear the word. It is the word that has power, not our personality or our lack thereof. Amen. It is not. It's the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You can't have faith without the word. There can be nobody saved without the word. The word creates faith in the hearts and the minds of people. So I'm saying to you today, as we talk to people and as we desire to connect, the word is the power that opens this door of utterance that Paul was talking about in Colossians. It's the word of God. Get him the word. That's why I love gospel tracts. Get him the word. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Romans 8. God reaches to the heart with his word. It is the word. Give him the word. That's why God said, preach the word. Because the word of God is there. And when the word of God is preached, it evokes something in the heart and the mind of somebody. You know, you wouldn't do too far bad if you say, you knock on a door and say, hi, friend, I'm from Moore Baptist Church, and I just have a verse I want to share with you today. Would you let me share this verse? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, that would work. It's one of those ingredients that opens this door of utterance up. It's, Lord, please, Lord, allow me to speak the word. Allow me to know the word. And by the way, I want to tell you something. You won't know the word unless you're in it and unless you're trying to learn it and read it and even memorize it. And keep it fresh in your mind. It's this door of utterance that God's got his hand on the handle, and I think he wants to open it. He's saying, but boy, when you hear his word, I think the Lord's like, whoo, I like that. And he pulls that door open. Amen. Boy, that's good. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, it's not with eloquence. And it was also given in this way. Go back to Colossians chapter 4. Go back to our text and look at verse 6. Here's another ingredient he puts in this. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Does that mean I'm supposed to sprinkle salt on my tongue before I go soul winning? Seasoned with salt. No, what are we? We are salt. You're the salt of the earth. What is salt trying to do? It's trying to make others thirsty. Grace makes people thirsty. Grace makes people thirsty. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. That means the grace is seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Grace. Answer that critic with grace. Answer the man who challenges you with grace. Answer the one who is antagonistic with grace. Answer the one who's been hurt at a church or by somebody with grace. It can open a door of utterance. It's a key, because the connection here in verse 6 is knowing how to answer every man, knowing how to answer people, because people want to know, have you ever had that question? You ever had that question, somebody comes up to you and asks you that Bible question you don't know? Can I tell you what? Grace can get it through. Grace can get it through. You may not know the answer, but if your speech is always, and notice he said always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, he's not saying don't speak the truth. He's saying say it with grace. Say it with grace. The grace of God is in your heart. That is a powerful ingredient that keeps us from the internal pressure of having to be this soul winner that you would love to be. But it doesn't come through our wisdom. It's not through our great eloquence, our great ability. But it comes when others are praying, the working of God through us, and by prayer with the grace to speak, using the word of God. God says he can do it and do a work through us. Another ingredient. Go to John chapter 14. Book of John. One vital ingredient we cannot even dare to leave out, because nothing will happen without this ingredient. John chapter 14. Look at verse number 17. And red letter Bible. So Jesus, again, is directly saying this. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Hey, listen, they are unable to receive the Holy Spirit of God on their own. That lost man can't even receive it. So how are they going to get saved if they can't even receive it? Hold on. But ye know him. Ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That is the difference right there. They cannot get it. They cannot understand. They cannot even receive it. But you know him. But you know him. When he that is within you is speaking, then that person can receive and hear those words, because those words are not coming from a mere human or mortal. They're coming from him that is in you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, go to chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, verse 13. Notice, here again, red letter. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will do what? Guide you into all truth. Have you ever started soul winning and asked the Lord, Lord, would you guide me today? Would you guide me? I need to be guided by you, God. There are times when there's somebody walking down the street, the Holy Spirit of God says, stop. I'll pull in the nearest turn-in thing there, go out to that person, give them a gospel tract. Try to obey the Lord. Because God speaks. God can speak. God can speak. And when he speaks, and by the way, he lives inside of us. If you're saved, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. If he's inside of us, then he'll speak and he will guide you into all truth. Part of being a soul winner is just being willing and asking God to guide us. God, please guide me. It's this acknowledgement that he's there and that he does desire to guide us, and that if we trust in our own guidance, we'll fail. So we need his guidance in our life as the door of utterance can be opened. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. It's all in vain, because salvation is not, as we've seen, it's not in enticing words. And in another passage, he uses the word swelling words. Whoa, that was a big old word. Whoa, you can use swelling words. You know, some people cannot use one word where 10 will do. And some people cannot use 10 where one will do. But the key is, be you with the Holy Spirit guiding you. His guidance. Others praying for you. God working in you. It is the Holy Spirit working and God doing his work inside of us with a tongue seasoned with grace. Not swelling words. Relying on this guide, this Holy Spirit. They cannot receive him, but he's in you. What's the point of that then? The point is that you have the answer in you, of them. You cannot determine, even if you follow all these simple principles, you cannot still determine if they're going to trust Christ and get saved. We cannot determine that. That is the independent will of a lost man. They have to choose it for themselves. And they have to be responsible themselves for it. But hear me. If we are if the Holy Spirit is working, we're using the Word of God. People are praying for us. This thing is coming together. And you give the gospel to somebody that can receive it, and they hear it, but yet they know God is in that. And they willingly and personally, hatefully reject it. I believe that's what's called the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit isn't some other sin. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to say no to the Holy Spirit when he works directly at you to come into your heart for salvation. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But this thing, this door of utterance that Paul's talking about, this door here is also opened by the Holy Spirit of God. oh, there's something that opens the heart, opens the life. I think of this lady, Miss Connie brings, Angie and her family. What a blessing to see them come. But I'll tell you, Angie came one time, and years ago, Brother Smith was preaching. And I stood right there in the back with Brother Smith shaking hands. And Angie raised her hand, but she didn't get saved. But afterwards, and Brother Smith saw it and knew it. And afterwards, Brother Smith went up to her, shook her hand. Ma'am, don't you want to be saved and know heaven's your home forever? And I could see Angie. Yes, she nodded her head. And she got saved in that classroom right there. Amen. What a blessing. That was a blessing. Because that Holy Spirit of God was working in that situation, in that need. One more verse. Go to chapter 15, please. I'm sorry it's cold. I'm wrapping it up right now. John 15, verse 26. But when the comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So notice he's saying what the Holy Spirit speaks comes directly from God the Father. It's undeniable. And he testifies of me. The Holy Spirit's testifying of the Father. That's the important thing. The Holy Spirit has to be working, because as he's working, God is honored and glorified, and his word is pointing them to God the Father. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit works to God through the Son, Jesus Christ, to the Father. You see what he's saying here? He's saying the Holy Spirit works all the way from the head, which is God the Father himself. And that comes back through us, through the Holy Spirit bearing witness to them. In other words, that lost sinner cannot get saved. They cannot receive Christ. But when there is, through the Holy Spirit, a glimpse of the Father, the Father, the Heavenly Father, not just Jesus, all the way to the top, when there is a glimpse of the Father there, that is what enables them to hear Christ, see Christ, and the door gets opened. Hallelujah. I just feel like shouting right now. And by the way, if you're genuinely saved here today, this all happened in you. And you may not know it, and you may not understand it all. I don't understand it all either, but it done happened. Amen. And it happened in your heart. It happened in your life. God did that. And can I tell you what? It all works together just fast and simple, but it all has to be there. It all has to be there. So let me say this tonight. Let's begin by praying for others, for their circle of influence. Let's begin praying for others. Let's go through the names in our church of people. So I pray for them in their circle. I pray for them. And let's take some of these ingredients, grace. Let's contemplate them and put them in our mind. Let's put them in our heart. And let's allow the Holy Spirit to guide us as we talk to people, using the Word of God in everything we do. Let's take some of these ingredients tonight and let's just see what God will open up. Crack that door open. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Wouldn't that be a blessing? You know, one of the great problems of different religions is that they don't use much of the word. It becomes an emotional thing. Emotions. Hey, the power is not in emotions. Now, the word of God does make us emotional. Don't get me wrong. But it's grounded in truth and in the word. But emotionalism itself without the word is no more than enticing men's wisdom. That's all it really ends up being. But when God's working in us, Holy Spirit of God, seasoned with salt, praying, opening the door, testifying of God through the word of God, I want to tell you something. That is the opening of that door of utterance that God wants. Let's pray for that. Let's pray that God will use us for that. Let's pray that God will open that door for our missionaries, that they can hear that, and that the people they speak to, that they see God in them too, as we want God in us also. Let's bow our heads.